All right, everyone. Good evening and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We're so glad that y'all are on the line. So glad that we get to go through and share what we learned from this past week when it comes to abuse. As I shared before the call started, that the scripture I really took away this week was Psalms 147:3, which states, "He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds." That's just one thing for us to write now, one thing for us to truly take away of what God does when these things come our way. So I'm grateful that we're here and looking forward to share more about the things that we took away from abuse this way and looking forward to hearing from you as well. But before we go any further into the call, let's go ahead, introduce our leader, and kick things off. Good evening, Mr. Carr. How you doing?
Doing wonderful, and yourself?
Great, thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started with the call, y'all. We're going to pray first, and then we're going to be opening up the call with Ms. LaTanya and Ms. Tiana. Let them do their thing. Y'all sit back, relax, enjoy. If you can, get somebody else on the call with us tonight, all right, because we're just doing our SMB Learning Center. This is a place where we've learned throughout the week. It's time for you to share something that we may have missed, overlooked, or something that you know, your experience even. All right, so let us pray first. Go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads and open up your hearts. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to just come to you right now, Father God. We ask you, Father God, for so many things, but Father God, we also want to give you praise and glory that you so rightfully deserve, Father God. Father God, we don't know how to properly praise you, but Father God, as you see fit to it, Father God, as you see us giving our best, Father God, we ask that you accept that, Father God. And Father God, help us, Father God, to praise you and serve you even more so, Father God. Today was a great day, but Father God, we want to make it greater tomorrow, Father God, and that's pursuing you, pursuing righteousness, Father God, pursuing all the things that you have for us to do. We just want to say we thank you for everything that you do for us, everything that you will do, Father God. We thank you for protecting our minds, Father God, giving us a peace, Father God, to walk forward in these days to come, Father God. We ask that you remove and tear us away from pride, Father God, the very thing that you don't like. Tear us away from it, Father God. Father God, let us view ourselves the way that you view us. We thank you, Father God, for opening our eyes, Father God, removing the scales of sin, Father God, so that we can now see clearly, Father God, the way that you see life in general. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, let everyone say amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, floor's yours.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Carr. Oh, well, everyone, you know, we talked about a lot of forms of abuse this week, and we speak on it often. We speak on the abuse of trust, abuse of drugs, abuse of power, abuse of material things. We talk about child abuse, even time clock abuse, all these things. But when we actually hear the word, when we hear the word abuse, we 9 times out of 10 go to abuse of people. 9 times out of 10, we think of physical abuse, and 9 times out of 10, we think of men abusing women. But the reality is that there's so much abuse that we cannot see. And that's something that the world calls emotional abuse. It's the most common type, but still receives the least attention. The reality is that anyone of us can be abused, and any one of us can be abusers, regardless of our age, our gender, our ethnicity, our socioeconomic status, our background. Whatever it is, we all have been abused. We all can be abusers. Mm-hmm. When we were talking about emotional abuse, right, it's difficult to detect because it's not something that's necessarily always observable. Sometimes there's no evidence of it. And most of the time, the people who are abusing or have been abused don't even realize that it's happening to them. I personally can testify that not knowing what I've experienced growing up or knowing the things that I've dished out were forms of abuse. And I'm just curious, did anyone else learn that this week? That something that they that happened to them or something that they've done to others didn't even realize that it was a form of abuse. If you have, I invite you to press *5, and we'll love to hear from you if that's the case. But some of those examples of emotional abuse that stood out to me this week were stuff like constant criticism, abandonment, manipulation, character assassination, deceit, threats, domination, blackmail, and we can go on. But the one thing that stood out was that even though these may not be seen, that doesn't mean the effects of them are no less painful or destructive. Effects like depression, lack of motivation, confusion, self-blame, hopelessness, worthlessness, and we can go on and on. But the interesting part is that the same abuse that is dispelled is also the same abuse that we can then hurt others with. One thing I looked at this week that really took away was that no matter the form of abuse, they are all sinful. They are all sinful. And the bottom line is that such mistreatment is motivated by selfishness. That's one of, man, when it really hit me that people abuse other people, no matter for whatever reason it is, selfishness underlies all of that abuse. Because let's be real, we tend to lash out. We tend to hurt others when things don't go our way. When we lack consideration of others, which leads us to misusing and mistreating for our selfish gains. And all of that regardless of the consequences. And this abuse can come from and be dished out to all people in and through our lives. It could be our husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends. It could be our bosses. It could be our coworkers. It could be our parents, our siblings, our friends. And folks think that it can even be our children. Every last one of us, though, is guilty of abuse at some level, because every last one of us has fallen short of God's command to love one another. We've got to keep in mind that only the love of Jesus that is in us, the Holy Spirit that he kindly gifted us, can truly love others. And the love of Jesus only exists for those who accept him. Thus, it's only Jesus who can heal the wounds that were left by abuse. Just as I shared earlier tonight, Psalms 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. And he is the only one who grants peace to those who are in pain. It's only through him. Ms. Latan, you have anything to share about peace through all this pain?
I do. In fact, I actually wanted to, you said a mouthful there, but I did want to share because I know we are encouraging everyone to, you know, share their testimony as to how God delivered them from an abusive situation, be it they were the victim or the abuser, but just how they were able to overcome. And just to share a little bit about my situation, I was in a relationship where there was a lot of emotional abuse going on. And there were things said like the I love yous, but there was never any action to follow behind that. So if you were just looking at the actions, love was not reflective of that. You know, being told that you would never be worthy, you're not good enough, and being subjected to a certain time and, you know, where I had to be a certain place, never violence, but a lot of emotional abuse. And what happened was the way that I was freed from the situation was God allowed another individual to come into that person's life. So it was more or less an escape for me. And I, at first, was bitter, was angry, because at the end of the day, I believed that I could change the person. I could make the situation better if I did certain things. Well, that was not true, because you just talked about love. And the bottom line is love does not hurt. So if we go back and we recall the scripture from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, it tells you exactly what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. You know, it is not boastful or rude. And I was experiencing a lot of those things. But as Ms. Candy pointed out yesterday, oftentimes we've been the victim, but we have also been the abuser as well. And, you know, that was just a little bit of my testimony and how God delivered me from that. And once I got over the bitterness, the angry, you know, the angriness that I had inside of me, that was a freedom that I experienced. And God was allowing me to step into greater that he had for me all along. So, you know, when we look back, we talked about the different types of love in the past, and there's a filial brotherly type of love, and there's the eros, which is the erotic type of love, the storge, which is, you know, the love of family and friends, but that agape love, which is that unconditional love that God expects us to exhibit towards everyone. So you have to ask yourself, is this type of love being shown in the relationship that I am in? And also, we could look at the scripture that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, that states, but if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or the sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. So at the end of the day, in all of our relationships, we are called to be peacemakers. So any type of abuse, like you said, is called sin. And in God's eyes, it's not righteous. It's not godly living. And we touched on child abuse a little bit. You talked about the emotional abuse. There's the domestic violence that we're all familiar with. But it's the verbal abuse that a lot of people have taken part in, and they don't even realize it. And the Bible tells us that, you know, the words we speak reflect what's going on the inside of us. And there's the old adage that says, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And that's not completely true, because the Bible also tells us that abusive language has a deep, long-lasting effect that can pierce like swords. So you think of being cut with a sword or cut with a knife or what have you, and what that would be like. And this is what the abusive language, that verbal abuse is like. And, you know, that's what, you know, it's been for me, just reflecting on that and seeing how I have been a victim, but I've also very much been an abuser in that way. So.
All right. Yes, ma'am. I'm with you there, because for me, it was the abuse of abandonment, right? That's what rang home for me this week. I never considered abandonment as a form of abuse. To be honest, it's something I learned to live with. I built coping mechanisms over the years. Though I realized that from time to time, if, you know, I've always lived far away from family and friends, that when someone came to visit or I went to visit them, whenever it was time to leave or to separate, it brought me to tears. But God, man, once I committed a relationship with Jesus, I no longer had to cope. I got to actually live. But this week I received that, you know, that was the way that I abused others as well. I abandoned people. And what we hear all the time, hurt people. I never learned how to separate. All I knew was, okay, they disappeared, bye-bye. So I abandoned just as I was abandoned. And I call that disappearing acts 101. Yes, was good at it. But I learned that disappearance from people throughout my life, all starting from a young age, was what behavior I replicated.
Right.
And it was something that, whether something was too good to be true or whether I didn't feel safe, that was just the action that was easily taken. But I'm grateful that the gift God gave me several years ago, when I called him to be in my life, I was able to own my errors in that abandonment. I was able to go back and apologize to the people in my life that I just said deuces to. I also was able to go and apologize to the ones who abandoned me, because I was guilty of character assassination, basically. The words out of my mouth talking about the things they did to me, but yet I was doing the same thing to others. And that abuse of abandonment is what? Very selfish. It is a selfish act. And for me, I was focusing on my well-being to not be hurt again without regards to how all the other people in my life would be involved or impacted, not considering how I was hurting them. And there's a scripture, James 3:16, that states, for wherever there is a selfish ambition, there you will find discord and evil in every kind. And men. That just rang just through to me because that was the case. That was the spirit that was very evident in and through my life, because it was, I got to take care of this and I can't allow them to impact me, so I've got to go. I got to disappear. But man, the hurt I ensued on others was also the hurt that I had received all those years. But it brings me to the story of Laban. I don't know if anyone out there knows who Laban is, but Laban was the father of, oh my goodness, the names just went right out of my head, and I do apologize. The father of was Rebecca's brother, who is Isaac's wife, and the father of the both girls who were married to Jacob, Leah and Rachel. Right? Laban used abuse of power. He abused the trust that Jacob had in him when Jacob was there to work 7 years to take Rachel's hand in marriage. And when that time came, when it was time for Jacob to receive Rachel's hand in marriage, Laban switched up the sisters. He gave him Leah. And when Jacob found out about it, it was, of course, too late. And then when he realized it, he was forced to work another 7 years for Laban to receive the wife he had originally agreed to receive, which was Rachel. And in that, we just see how Laban just truly, once again, abused his authority. He was like, well, you can't do anything about it. This is what I set up. He also abused his trust because this was actually his nephew. This was family. This is family who he basically completely abused all the relationship just to seek his own desires, to seek what he set up as the rules. But he lost the opportunity. What came out of that story for me was he lost the opportunity to learn something great about who Jacob was. He lost the opportunity to learn Jacob's God. He lost the opportunity to learn what it is to be truly a family member, to truly be someone, to be that person who the family can rely on. Instead, he did everything out of selfish ambition. But what an amazing lesson also learned was what Jacob showed. Jacob showed an enormous amount of patience in that situation. He showed an enormous amount of love in that situation. And he did what he was supposed to do in those 14 years until it was time for him to go back home to face his brother. But that's the kind of love, patience, that's the kind of peace that patience can bring if we allow it and don't allow abuse to truly take over and rule our lives. It was just an amazing story for me that really brought home, you know, what abuse can do, but also the impact it can have if we ourselves can be patient in it. 1 Corinthians 4:12 tells us, we bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. And that is so key, how we're living out the love that you, Ms. LaTanya, just shared so much about. But that love is patient, love is kind. If we are living in that love, we can live through whatever abuse comes our way. Isn't that something?
It is. I actually have a question, Ms. Tiana. I don't know if we had anyone wanting to share their testimony, but they could still chime in because we'd love to get an answer to this question. It was actually emailed to me as we been talking about abuse all this week, the past week. And the question is, the lady has a child involved, and it's a marriage where there's a lot of emotional abuse going on. So she wants to know, where does she go from here? Does she continue to work on the marriage because she's the only one putting forth all the effort, and she's continually getting the emotional abuse and the child is in the midst of it all. So they're witnessing and hearing a lot of what is going on in the household. So she's just at that point of not knowing what to do, how to go forward, other than, you know, seeking God through prayer. So that was a question that she had, and she's just seeking answers and also guidance. So if someone would like to chime in and just, maybe you've been in a situation like that and could provide some insight, that
would
be great.
Well, we have one caller. We have one caller that's raised their hand. Let's see what they have to share this evening. Good evening, caller. Please go ahead and share what you have to share this evening.
Good evening, everyone. This is DJ out of Atlanta. I just want to share one quick point. I know we talked about several types of abuse and people abusing us and we abusing other people. I just want to share, you know, you can abuse yourself, too. There are several things that we do to ourselves that's not even necessary. Sometimes we see ourselves in situations and think the devil put us there or someone else put us there, when actually we put ourselves there. One thing about, and you can abuse yourself mentally. I'm not talking about the physically, that's the obvious, but motivational, mental, and spiritual abuse, you can do that to yourself as well as physical abuse. For a long time, I wasn't eating the right foods and doing the right things. And naturally what ends up happening is you have to go to the doctor. And then you let this doctor tell you you have this sickness. I don't care if it's diabetes or whatever. And then the first thing you're going to do is get mad. You're going to pray, and you're going to try to trace it back and say, why is this happening, or why am I allowing this, when in actual you did it to yourself. You know, I think it was yesterday Mr. Carr was mentioning there's a difference between, and Ms. Candy mentioned, there's a difference between a teacher and a trainer. And that is so very, 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 very true. When you go to school, you go to learn, and they have teachers there, and they teach you the lesson. But your parents are the ones that have to train you and train you on more than just that one subject, but it's almost like life training. You know, you have to stay spiritually grounded, and you need some manners as well as self-discipline as well. You know, as a musician, my band director would always tell me, you come here to rehearse. He would never say band practice. He would always say rehearse. And growing up, I heard practice. You know, my high school band director would always say, come to band practice, come to band practice. But when I got to Southern University, the band director didn't say that. He said, come here to rehearsal. And I asked him, what's the difference? And it was so simple, I felt stupid. He said, rehearsal is where we come to rehearse. Practice is something you're supposed to do at home. Yeah. So in other words, you have to train and do some of these things on your own and get yourself right, just like with a trainer that will help you out physically. You know, that it's not going to do no good if you only time you're going to exhibit good behavior with nutrition and exercise in just in front of that trainer, because that trainer is not going to be with you always. So you have to get your mind right and your body right, as well as your spirit. If you get those two things right, or if you have your spirit right, it's like a trinity. They all work in one. You can't break that triangle and expect to be successful with any part of it, because it's like a weak link. But if you got those three things correct, then, you know, you shouldn't have any problems. That's all I just wanted to add. Just, you know, just saying that, you know, some of these things that we can, you know, we can stamp out on ourselves with just a little self-discipline, you know. Yeah. Push certain things back. Watch it. Cursing, you know. I always prayed for a long time to help me with my tongue. Then I realized I have to do something. It's not just magically going to make it stop. You know, I have to do something. That means that I have to discipline myself and govern and think of some other words to replace those that I keep not only saying but hearing. Sometimes subliminally, you know, you can be around a certain element and you know that's not for you. if you're trying to flee from that, then you need to, you know, spit that out. It's almost like a person that wants to quit drinking but hanging around the bar. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all.
Thank you, Mr. DJ. You said some very interesting things. And summarizing it all is that, yeah, we really can be our own abusers. And we have to make that choice. We have to make that selection on how not to do so and make the proper choices in and through our lives so that we're not impacting ourselves in that way. And we have another caller, Ms. LaTanya, who also would like to share this evening.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Please share your comment this evening.
Hello, I have two things I want to share. I want to share a scripture, but I also want to share I was emotionally abused. And I can say this because when I was a young child, I grew up and I was around physical abuse, domestic violence with my mom and dad. So I always swore, you know, I said, whenever I get older, I will never let a man hit me. Well, I didn't recognize emotional abuse. So I dealt with that for 5 years, not realizing what it was. And for me to get out of that situation, I just kept saying, well, at least he don't hit me, you know, at least he don't do this and different things like that. And it took for the emotional abuse turned to physical, and it took one time. And that one time, that's when I said, okay, I don't do that. But I took 5 years of emotional abuse, not realizing that it was breaking down my self-esteem, and I was allowing it, you know. So it took for me to experience that, I guess, physical abuse that I said I would never allow for me to get out of it. But what I can say is in that time when I did get out of it, God placed someone in my life that drew me closer to God. And in that time I was able to seek God and heal myself from that. And not saying that I'm completely healed from the scars, but I know that they're not big scars, and they're getting smaller. But that's just something that I wanted to share. But I do want to share a scripture of encouragement, Isaiah 61:2-3, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. There will they will all be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, caller. Awesome, awesome scripture, and we truly appreciate you sharing your testimony this evening. All right. Well, Ms. LaTanya, before we hand the call over, do you want to go ahead and answer the question?
Yes, I do, actually, because I did reply to her, and I did tell her to continue to be prayerful, because as she does that, God will reveal to her what she needs to know. But also to think about marital counseling with someone like an elder of their church, because they are active in the church. They do go to fellowship, and she said it's something that is just started recently. So for anyone that's dealing with that, I would highly suggest that you continue to pray, but also to seek a spiritual leader, your pastor, and someone that you could sit with and talk with to lead and guide you in your marriage, because we know that God does not condone divorce for just the reason of emotional abuse. It's something that we know that could be overcome. And I told her there's going to be a testimony in the ending of her story and how things play out. And also with the child involved, could continue to keep the child in the Word of God as well, continue to pour love into that child and, you know, allow God to water the seed that she's planting in the child. But I also wanted to just point out that if we operate in the fruit of the Spirit, which those are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and as Mr. DJ just talked about, the self-control, we will avoid abuse at all costs. So that's something just to keep at the forefront of our minds as we interact with other people in relationships, but also as we speak the words that come out of our mouths, and even before they come out of our mouths, when they're just a thought, you know, we have to think about those. So that's very important.
Amen. Well, thank you, Ms. LaTanya. Mr. Carr,
yes.
Anything more you'd like to share this evening?
I just want to share with everybody that hope something was said throughout the week that could help lift your spirits. Definitely one of the things that Ms. LaTanya said, you know, with the avoidance, you know, with the fruits of the spirits, let me correct something. You won't avoid abuse. Jesus Christ was self-control. He was love. He was forgiveness. He was meekness, and he didn't avoid it. You'll know how to better handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get that clear. Because being Christian doesn't guarantee, God never promised that it was going to be easy. Because he said long-suffering. Long-suffering is entangled in in the fruits of the Spirit. A part of suffering is a part of abuse, whether it be mental, emotional. Now, you have to know how to better handle it. I didn't say stay there. Sometimes you got to move around. My advice to the young lady who had the question in the marriage, because, see, a lot of times we get things twisted. First and foremost, step back. Did God calls you or call y'all to be married? Let's get things straight, because we try and fit that square into a circle, and it's not supposed to be there. And we'll end up getting ourselves knocked upside the head 20 times.
Right.
Up there. Because, see, what happens a lot of times is we jump spiritual when we didn't go into that thing spiritual.
All right.
Let me say that again. I don't think y'all heard me. We tend to be spiritual when we didn't go into spiritual. In other words, we want God to correct our mess.
Cool.
That ring a bell to anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yes,
okay. In other words, he go to pulling teeth parts of abuse. You just saw God. You found God. You met him at a place where it wasn't about God. So y'all was equally yoked, but on the wrong side of being equally yoked. Y'all both was in the world. You found God once y'all got together. Now you want to make them find God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what stone they going to throw at you? You ain't find me that way.
Yep.
Because if we were equally yoked, watch how abuse gun fly the coop. Watch this. Being equally yoked doesn't say that me and Miss LaTanya about to get married. They don't say that she's more spiritually inclined than I am without equally yoked. Equally yoked has nothing to do with you making more money than them, them making more money than you. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Y'all know what a yoke is? I'm talking about the yoke that goes around an oxen neck. Equal yoke means that the male lion ox might be stronger than the female ox, but they both pull it in the same direction.
Amen.
Oh, okay, y'all didn't get it? We're not equally yoked with God if it's based on level of what we think equally yoked is, spirituality. Ain't none of us on God's level.
That's right.
But he married to us. Ooh. How can he be married to something that he said we got? That means we might not be on your level, Father, but I'm sure going in your direction. That's equally yoked.
Yes.
Hence the Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be in agreement? How can you walk down that aisle lest you be in agreement? You can be in agreement in both your heathens.
Mm-hmm.
And you open the door to abuse to come in, not only because you're heathens, but you don't know how to handle it. So now we start pulling our hair out, and we got gray hair at the age of 28 because now we're confused.
Huh.
We don't know how to handle abuse. And we say pray about it, but we don't know what prayer is. The Bible says prayer and supplication. Some things won't move by prayer alone.
Yes, Lord.
So that means God give you good sense and good wisdom. Don't you stay your behind in a situation where you've been abused.
Come on.
God didn't tell you to stay in. See, if it causes you, I don't know if y'all heard me this week when I said if it causes you to separate from God, you need to let it alone. You tell me what somebody kicking, biting on you, scratching you, cutting you, causing you to get closer to God. That's going to cause you to question God, because you would say, God, why you put me here?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And this last little form of abuse that nobody talks about, I need to tell y'all, this last form of abuse is called spiritual abuse. Y'all open your ears now. We didn't talk about this all week. Spiritual abuse. Y'all know that's real, right? Misusing the word of God. But not only misusing the word of God, misusing what you think you are in God. In other words, y'all know when we get baptized, Holy Ghost filled, sanctified. Come on, what typically happens? We think that we're better than everybody else, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Everybody else, don't we? We start saying what they should do, don't we? So in other words, start replacing God with what we say. Because we know God, and they don't know God. Like, as a matter of fact, that's why we say stuff like, everybody can't pray for me. But let me tell you a little secret. Now, y'all want to know there's a secret?
Yes, sir.
For you right now, and you will never know about it. You can't stop people's prayer, but what can be deflected is the enemy's attack if it's not meant for you.
Amen. Right.
See, spiritual abuse will have us feeling superior to others. Y'all remember abuse is the misuse, mistreat? Okay, it'll have us using God's word to place ourselves above. So in other words, y'all be saying, go ask Mr. Clark, he's going to get him straight. Mr. Clark ain't about to get nothing straight. That's between you and them, between y'all two. Because don't come to somebody to get an up on somebody else. Y'all know how we do it. Oh, I know such and such. I'm close to the pastor. The reason why you get close to the pastor is because you think that's going to get you closer to God. So now, oh, Lord.
Tell it.
So everybody who else don't kiss behind, they're not close to the pastor. You know, because people kiss behind when they get close to their pastors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, I said something wrong?
No.
I said something wrong?
No, you didn't.
That's what we do, right? I don't need a title, so don't put that on me. I don't care. Okay? But I'm going to tell y'all something about Sunday morning breakfast. Y'all know why Sunday morning breakfast started?
Come on.
Because I experienced a heavy dose of spiritual abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
I experienced it heavy. I'm talking about from in-home. Okay? There ain't nothing to be ashamed about. My mother told me I'm not on her level.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, mother dear. I don't know what level that is, but you're exactly right. Because only something that is being used by, and it's no disrespect, but only something that's being used to say that to something else. And it wasn't being used by the right spirit. But you're right, though. Because what God has for me is going to go higher.
Amen.
Why would Jesus tell anybody that they're not on his level?
Mm-mm.
As a matter of fact, the Bible says be greater than Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
That was a direct command. Yes, Lord. But y'all see, fire can make things grow, but that spiritual abuse made something birth. Because I didn't look at it as a derogatory. I looked at it as, shoot, if this is ministry, I'm about to do it the right way and not that wrong that I have experienced.
Amen.
Hmm? Primarily, y'all listen to this. Why you need counselors in the world? That's what the church for. Most spiritual heads, pastors and stuff like that. Hmm? I'm telling y'all this true story. I went to a pastor. Huh? My mom a pastor. In other words, I'm going in the lion's den. I know y'all got that stuff there going on, but it's cool. I know what I'm protected by. Let's get it. The pastor talked to me one-on-one. Did not want to talk to me with my mama. You know why? Somebody paying tithes and somebody else not paying tithes. I wasn't a tithe payer. So I got the, oh, shit, yeah, this, that, and other, you know, wasn't right part. You know, she wasn't right part, but she played both sides of the fence. The reason I'm saying this story is look at the spiritual abuse going on. Because, see, the thing is, as opposed to lying in your pocketbook, you should have been trying to get that family straight. Oh.
Yes.
But, see, when we spiritually abuse things, that means I won't tell DJ something because DJ said he was going to do something for Sunday morning breakfast. Guess what? I'm going to tell DJ what I need to tell him. If he don't want to do something for Sunday morning breakfast, brother man, you just won't do it.
Right.
But I got to tell you, thus said the Lord. But y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Come on, no, that's brand new because, see, we don't tell Tiana nothing because Tiana doing something for the ministry. And I need Tiana. Obviously, owe no man nothing but to love him. That means, Tiana, as much as you're doing, you can stop it because it may, I don't know. It depends on what your spiritual mind is. This is why a lot of people don't call back in because they have a problem with Mr. Carr. They take it personal. But I thought you initially came for the word of God, so how you not? Okay. You see what I'm saying? So we start to abuse things spiritually. We won't even tell our parents something, even in their era. Of something and let something go to hell. Unless you're spiritually abusing it. As a matter of fact, 93% of Americans don't let their child take the lead because they think, because they're older, they're wiser, but wisdom don't come by age. Acts King Solomon. As a matter of fact, what I'm saying is, parents, we spiritually abuse our children all the time because we say that we got it. In other words, when they get it, we think that it came from us. But hold on, if you wasn't in the pulpit and now they in there, how did it come from you? It came from God.
That's right.
But don't y'all know 93% of Americans spiritually abuse their children? In other words, they're beneath them. The child can never take over and pray for your family because that's a child. You know that, parents?
Wow.
Don't want to hear me.
Wow.
That's just another leg up, another way that we abuse children, not emotionally, not mentally, not physically, not verbally, but spiritually.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Okay. It's the truth. And even to this day, battles are going on. But see, the thing is, you got to know how to handle abuse. That's what I just shared with Ms. LaTanya. It's not that abuse won't come. The thing is, you got to know how to handle it and stand your ground in God. You understand?
Yes.
In God. Don't expect no applause. Don't expect no pats on the back. But expect God to be happy with your service.
All right.
So stop the spiritual abuse as well, as if you know more than they know. Because if y'all ever hear somebody say, well, I ain't on your level, and I always say, hold on, that's not true. Oh, no, 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 I can learn from you too. Y'all ever hear me say that?
Absolutely, yes.
As a matter of fact, won't you pray for us? Won't you pray for me? Huh? Ah, but the spiritual abusers say you can't pray for me. Simply because you think you know more than they do. Are you entitled more? First of all, it ain't about what you say that can make mountains move. If God don't want to move in your life, because see, God can see you through you better than the x-ray. Huh? A lot of times we'll start touching people, trying to heal them so we can get glory. All we want to say is look at the God in me, call me when you need something. Don't call me, call God. Huh? You don't need the middleman. Take the middleman out of the equation. Go directly to God. But spiritual abusers don't want you to go to God. They want to isolate the Lord. Have mercy. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. Here goes Revelation. That's why they want you to call them a spiritual mother. I'm going to tell it. That's why they want you to call them a spiritual daddy. I'm going to tell it. You only got one father, and that's in heaven. I can only share with you about God. I can't give them to you. There you go.
Yes.
Lord.
Yes, indeed.
Somebody being spiritually abused and didn't even know it, huh? You got to get permission from who? If God didn't tell you, why you got to get permission from them? Who's your spiritual mother and your spiritual father again? Let us go ahead and pray, Miss Tiana.
Well, Mr. Carr, we actually have one caller who...
Please, yeah, go ahead.
All right. Good evening, caller. Please go ahead and share what you have to share this evening.
Okay, good evening. I'm sorry. I don't want to hold up the service. But this spiritual abuse, I've gone through a lot being raised up Pentecostal, and I've gone through a lot in my younger years, and I just happened to run into something during my adult life. I was dating a guy, and I started attending his church. I wasn't very comfortable there, but, you know, he would throw this thing in my face about, you know, we need to be at the same church. And he ended up, he was the musician for the church, but he wasn't, like, really striving. I know there's no perfect Christian, but he wasn't, like, really striving to, you know, to live a Christ-like life. And we started having issues in the relationship where he couldn't get his flesh under control. And I was trying to go higher in the Lord, so we started seeking counseling from the pastor. And, you know, believe it or not, to my surprise, when he was telling the pastor about his flesh, instead of the pastor using the word of God and trying to tell him about, you know, his flesh and we're not married and this and that, the pastor told me that I had to understand that my boyfriend was a man and that he had needs. And I felt some type of way because I was the one that was, you know, paying my tithing. I was tithing, you know, every week or whatever, and he wasn't tithing, but when I look back, it was just that he was the musician, and he wanted to keep the musician there in the church to draw people into the church. So, yeah, there's a lot of spiritual abuse, and you know, I stayed there for a while, but then I couldn't deal with it, and, you know, I didn't cause any negative thing or whatever, it just stayed in my heart, and then I finally left when, you know, when I felt like God needed me to, you know, get up out of there. So that's all I had to say.
Well, you stay right there. That's something. That's amazing, y'all. And so it had to be said because it's true. And the Bible tells us to expose things. You understand what exposure is? Y'all know
yes.
What exposure is? Exposure is never bad to someone who's doing right.
That's right.
I mean, if you're working hard, what's wrong with exposure? Because when you expose a hard worker, all you're doing is exposing an example. You're showing people the model how to. Jesus' life was exposed. Did y'all know that? Of course y'all knew that. But for someone who's doing wrong, exposure is never good. They call you a snitch and a rat then, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The evolution of diversion to get you off of what's really going on, I'm going to call you a rat. And the rat title gets you off of the reality of what I just did wrong.
Come on.
Y'all follow me?
Yes.
People, and I know even some on the phone right now may be shaking because, oh, how dare you talk about, you know, the Bible says don't talk about your spiritual leaders. I ain't talking about the leaders. I'm talking about the spirits that are attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? The shoe fit where? I'm a spiritual leader. I ain't knocking nobody. I'm telling you right from wrong. Don't you go to a car wash that's horrible and then you go to one that's really good.
Yes.
You understand? It should not be no favorites in God. First of all, that's why I tell you, have a personal relationship with God. So you don't, when you see abuse, you'll know how to handle abuse. Because if you don't know how to handle abuse, you will find yourself, much like the caller said, you'll find yourself, well, she was wise enough and smart enough, you'll find yourself in a situation where that has become your God because you'll start listening to that pastor and that man. But see, the agenda is something totally different. The agenda is different because you think that that's the word of God. Hmm? You have bought into it because of you don't know God. So you just buy into something that they said and made it sound good. But the agenda is I have to have a musician, so I'm going to side with him. And not only that, he's a man. A man don't have nothing to do with it, dude.
Uh-uh.
If it don't sound like something Jesus would say, you shouldn't listen to it.
Man.
Because then you have mishandled spiritual abuse. And you will let that thing grow and fester and fester and grow. If you go ahead and stop something in its embryonic stage, you can dismiss it real quick. And the next time that person tries to mess with another woman like that spiritually, they may think again.
Hmm.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Let me show you what that means, not just to the natural child. Yeah, y'all listen to this. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Spiritual abuse, watch this. If you haven't been corrected spiritually, you grow to think that your spiritual way is the answer. And it doesn't line up with God. Nobody ever challenged you. Nobody ever whooped you spiritually. Huh? Watch this. Case in point, women have intuition. That is a L-I-E. Woman's intuition. Show me that in the Bible. Come on. So I'll go ahead and whip somebody. But we abuse the word of God. What is intuition? Oh, it's just something that you know. Ain't no such. Either it came from God or it came from somewhere else. So tell me again, what is intuition? Did God give you that? And if God gave it to you, why is half the time your intuition wrong? So you telling me that God telling you wrong? See how we had to spiritually whip something? But see, nobody ever spiritually checked you. And now, if you don't check something, oh, Lord. If you start a ride, if you don't check something, it's going to grow up thinking that its way is right. That's why you can't tell a lot of people about women's intuition, because they grew up and nobody ever checked them. I don't think y'all hear me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing that goes on in the spiritual realm. We spiritually abuse things and nobody ever check them. The reason why you can't check nobody spiritually is because you don't know it. I don't care what happened. Y'all know it's in your blood. If you see a child disrespecting their parents in Walmart, you have to say something. It's just in you. You know why you have to say something? Because you know right from wrong. You can't be apt to say something to somebody who's spiritually incorrect when you don't know right from wrong.
Oh, that's the truth.
All right. And we're going to go ahead and pray. So, Carla, if you don't mind, go ahead and pray for us, please.
And Father God, we thank you for this lesson, the two-week lesson that we've been dealing with on abusive relationships. And Lord, we've learned that there are so many types of abuse. Lord, we've learned that not only have we been abused, but we have abused others. Well, Lord, we just want to take the lesson, and we want to learn from our mistakes. We want to start experiencing patience with others, realizing that there's no one that's perfect, Lord. But if we find ourselves in a relationship that does not line up with you, Lord, we want to look for you for the guidance to see us out of it. And, Lord, we just ask that everyone on the line does not have any holdups from the past. Yes, there's just a lot of abuse that we've gone through, but it's not the end of the world. We will get through it with prayer, Lord, prayer and patience. And, Lord, we just ask that you just bless everyone on the line tonight in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all have been blessed.
Blessed.
Yes. Thanks. No, I ain't going to sing. Y'all have a great night. I'm going to see y'all on Wednesday, Bible study. See y'all then.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.